his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called, I'm going to call it Sychar, okay? You can have your own pronunciation, that's fine. Near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then will you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." This scripture is one of the best examples of how to make a conversation with someone that does not have a relationship with the living God. I would encourage you to read over it this week. I would encourage you to get a hold of it in your own spirit. It goes on. Or I'm going to go on, sorry. You know, some years ago, Andrew and I went to Paris on our long service leave to a museum. And I think it was called D'Orsay. And I have a lot of difficulty seeing what Andrea sees in pictures. I really do. You know when they put up, like there's that's an old lady photo and then there's a young, beautiful young lady. I never see any of it. I don't know what it is, but I just don't get any of it. I just don't see that way whatsoever. I guess that means I'm not very creative in that sense. And so often we can miss what God's trying to say to us through Scripture as well. So often we can miss some of the things that God's trying to talk to us about. And so we need one another. Church, we need one another. One of the greatest ways to learn is with one another. Let me get that straight. So we need to be in a connect group, very least. We've got to go to church, number one. This was talked about at Presence, and we've got two. We've got to go to connect group. Because we've got to be in a group that we can relate with and interact and share things and share life as well as the Bible together. And of course, we have Alpha as well now, which you can register for with the lovely Ben and Avina afterwards at the TV television outside the doors. And so Jesus was tired from his long walk in Samaria. And really just sits down because he was pretty tired himself anyway. He wanted to have a drink and there happened to be this Samaritan woman there. I want to say, first of all, I want to talk about the gift of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. See, the conversation continues. If you only knew the gift God has for you and who I am, you would not be hesitating right now. You would be asking me for living water. How can you give me living water? The Samaritan woman goes, I've got this water and it's pretty good. And you don't have a bucket. And so the conversation continues. It wasn't a marketing exercise, was it? It was really getting into the other person's world. Both were getting into their worlds, in fact. Both were trying to find out a little bit about each other. What a great way to do life. Recognize other people's opinions. Recognize who they are. Don't bombard them with what you don't even know, any of their background. How do people receive Christ if we simply bombard? They won't. But they will when they get to know us, when we build relationship with them. And so put up your hand if you have the life of God inside of you. If you've got the life of God inside of you, put your hand up. Come on. Pretty much everyone. The life of God inside of you. Yeah. Who's glad they got the life of God inside of them? Come on. Who's glad that I actually made you okay? I helped you a little bit. Who's glad? Come on. It's the life of God. I'm liking this. I just got off the plane last night, so you can help me all right through this message this morning. The life of God. How much does your life with God mean, really, seriously? Is it everything? So let me ask you a question. Is Jesus alive? Let me say it one more time because I'm not sure everyone got it. Is Jesus alive from the back here? Is Jesus alive? Is Jesus alive here? Is Jesus alive over here? He's alive. Come on. Come on, India. Jesus is alive, yeah? He's alive. So if he's alive, come on, if he's alive, if he is alive, then should we at least be a little bit alive in who we are? Do you think that it's okay then when we come to church to actually show our appreciation to God? Do you think it's okay when we rock into church that we actually support the minister like you're doing right now and go, you know what, Pastor, that's good. Because if we believe in the life of God, then we should exude the life of God. We should have some good news, which I've been talking about from the first message we talked about this whole series on sharing our lives with others. We've got to have good news if we've got his life, surely. You see, this scripture says, and I haven't got time to go into it for time, so I'm going to pull bits in. You can look at it yourself. It becomes a perpetual string that never runs dry. Who's been to New Zealand or actually come from that country? There are springs there that are quite incredible, aren't there? And they're not going to run dry. They are never running out. And I think that there is something that God wants to put inside of us today that never runs dry. We have what? A perpetual spring running through us through the power of God in our lives. When we come to church, we've got to worship Him because we want a download of the Holy Spirit into our life so that when we go out, we've got good news on our lips. Now, it's not just a light matter that people come forward. I am believing for every person that they will receive their breakthrough. And I think the more we believe together as a church and we're praying together from one week to the next, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we're going to hear of good news of what God is doing. Because if God's alive, then surely we want to be on the same page with what God's doing, if we're the way he's leading us. When you were baptized into the water, two things happened. You died to the old. Who's glad they died to the old? It became a grave of sin. Second, the good news is you didn't stay in that grave of sin. You rose up out of the water and you received what? New life. You received what? You receive what? New life. What's the first thing that happens when a baby comes out? New life. New life. Once it obviously you bang, you know, you've got to give it a bit of a pat. I know, maybe probably not that hard. I want to kill it, but anyway. defeated death and destruction in that act. If you believe that. Guys, you defeated death and destruction when you rose up out of the water. You have victory on your lips. In Liberia, since we were talking about it earlier, the African people, well, they don't particularly like swimming in the water. It's probably an understatement, actually. It scares them to death. That's the truth of it. And I know some of you that have moved from Liberia or African countries to come here, you've got over it. But over there, it's actually quite a big thing. Some of them are okay, but most of them, not too good. And so you can imagine, we're baptizing 20-odd people. They were traumatized. And to make it worse, there was 3-meter swell running that day. And so not only did Charlie and Shane and the girls, Renska and Sue, say hello to them afterwards. I think they're in kids' church if they're here. Great to have you back. But amidst their fear, Charlie had spoken to them before we baptized them, they knew that they wanted to go through with the act. That regardless of how fearful they were, they wanted more the new life of God. That really touched me. Without their ability to swim, you can see the fear on their eyes and their faces as we're holding them there. Didn't seem to matter how many people helped them. But they all got baptized, every one of them. We showed them the way to his life. In verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you what? Living water. Jesus was painting a picture of a better future for the woman. You can't paint a picture of a better future if you don't practice living in his life. Who'd like to paint a better picture of someone else's life for them? Anyone? Thanks, Ursula. Come on. Are there situations and things that you know about people's lives where you know that the life of God would transform them? Is that true? How is that going to happen? Well, first of all, we've got to have the life of God in us, right?
Yeah. Amen.
We have to have the life of God. What? What? What's this verse say? It's what? It's in us and it's bubbling up. It's not just inside, hidden away. Gemma, you were awesome at presents. I know you haven't been well. Thanks for coming up on stage. You know, incredible thing, the life of God. It cannot. Now, Charlie is I take lessons from him. I'm not his personality, but he is awesome at talking to people, and then somehow it twists around and suddenly, I'm a pastor at a church. I heard him on the plane say this very thing. I'm trying to get some sleep and he's, you know. He's always late. I'm a time person, you know. I'm always on the bus and I'm going, where's Charlie? He's not even on the same bus when you leave the airport terminal. He's on another one. But he's always got good news. You know, it's for everybody. Now, I know some people are gifted. I know Charlie, part of his gifting, if not all, is evangelists. But we all should be ambassadors for Christ, should we not? We all have someone that we can love into the kingdom of God. Might be a short-term process, might be a long-term process, but we all have people that we can relate. He's alive. I said he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. My question on this point is he alive in you? Because if he's alive in you, you can't help. Not in a crazy way. I'm at the gym pumping weights now. You can't get more manly than that, really, can you? You know? I haven't been for 3 weeks. It's starting to show. But you know, when you're doing bench press, you know, and you and the pretty good. The blokes, they give each other a bit of a, not bad. But then there's always one or two, you know, they're kind of always a bit higher and mightier. Don't talk to me. Just getting on with the job. They never say anything. They've got their cap on. Full of steroids, but hey, we love them anyway. But I've started talking to one of these guys as well. You don't know what can happen. They look mean, but really they're puppy dogs on the inside. Everyone's got someone they can minister with. Share something. Doesn't have to be a full sermon. You don't have to know this whole passage of scripture. You just share some of your life. What'd you do on the weekend? Oh, you know, bummed around a bit. Didn't do much. No, you didn't. You went to church. What? You went where? You went to, yeah, and you went to C3 Fremantle. I know that church. You know, every time I say that at a gym, I always get, that looks like a great church. Well, we've got great people in our church. You know, if nothing else, when it comes to time for they've got a problem, who are they going to talk to? We've all got these situations in our lives. You know, some days I'm up early praying. And because if we're going to have the life of God, what's one thing we have to be doing? We've got to be praying, church. And I know I'm the pastor, and sometimes you can pray in the car. I get that if you've got to go to work. But it's good to spend some time with God. I'm often up quite early these days, at, 4 or 5 o'clock. And I go to my garage, and I've realized actually that my garage is a bit close to the neighbors. And I'm just beginning to wonder whether I actually, because sometimes, you know, I'm not the quietest when I'm praying. Anyway, I'm still doing it. And I'm in the garage, you know, and I'm crying out to God for things and for people in the church and situations. And I can go to the gym, because I normally go to the gym, it's a bit of my habit. And by about 5:45 or 6 o'clock, whatever it is, I go to the gym for an hour. And I can sometimes, I'm like, I'm full. Full of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, oh, I've got to give it to somebody. And I'm still doing my exercises. But if the opportunity is there, someone's going to get an impartation. The best buzz you can have is actually having time in God. And look, I've surfed some pretty big waves. I've done some pretty incredible stuff down under the water diving. But the best thing we can do is spend time with God because it lifts our soul. And I know we need activities, and I know we need all our physical, and we need all our tanks filled. But you were baptized into his life. Will you share his life? Let's share his life and stay in his life. You know, Andrea told me that she mentioned this. I'm going to take a few more minutes. That's all right, isn't it? Yeah. We're all right today. Yeah. If you're a parent here, that's what I loved about Jane and Gemma. If you're a parent here, one of the best things you can do is show that you love God by coming to church. Yeah. Seriously. One of the most important things is what you prioritize, what you value. Will you value his house as a church? Each of us, will we value his house? Will we value being involved in a connect group? Will we value some of those things that actually make our spiritual life the best possible? Because then we're going to have springs that keep rising up and up and up. See, life is a relationship. Second, out from your overflow, people receive. I love this bit. Out from where? The overflow, people receive. Verse 14, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. At the beginning of this verse, it says, but whoever. In other words, we've got to do something. Living water doesn't just spring up, does it? It's a consistency to our walk with God. There's a consistency to loving God. There's a consistency for being a disciple. There's a consistency in our giving. There's a consistency in attending church. There's a consistency in hanging out with good people in a connect group. There's a consistency in our prayer life, in our reading our word. There's a consistency because we want to have an overflow life to touch the life of others. Do we? Who'd like to touch somebody else's life with the power of the living God? So let me ask you, where do you drink from? Guys, where do you drink from? There's certain things that you drink from may not produce too much life. Where do you drink from? Some of you probably need to turn the television off a bit more than you have it on. Some of you need to turn the internet off. You need to finish work at a reasonable hour so you can spend time with your family, so your family don't hate you. If we're going to be a Christian, this affects just about every area of our life. Does it not? Where do you drink from? Now, I know we have seasons. But ultimately, where's our trust? Church, where's our trust? If it's in God, thanks, Jonathan. If it's in God, man, then we've got to spend time with Him. We've got to prioritize those things that are going to build His kingdom. Because we've got to have His kingdom before we can extend it to others. What's your source? Where's your reservoir? In Liberia, there was a lot of wells. Some of them are not fit for drinking. Only for washing. They were contaminated by foreign particles, dead animals, foreign objects from the war, which only really finished in 2006. How do you unblock the well? You remove the foreign objects. You remove the dead animals completely. Will we today remove those things which are going to stop us from decaying? From being contaminated? What they've started to do, the government has started to put chlorine in. Obviously, they've taken out the dead animals, they've taken out those things that are contaminating the wells, and they've started to pour chlorine into them to refresh them. You know, the best thing we can have on our lives, the thing that is going to transform us, is being washed through by the Holy Spirit. Will you be washed through by the Holy Spirit today? I had another point. We're not going to get there this morning. But come on, let's stand to our feet for a moment. Let's agree together to kill our bugs. Will you kill your bugs? Kill those things. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform us today. I want us to sing a worship song that we can all just do as a closing song this morning, that will wash us through, wash us over. One of the songs from today will be Fine, Jarrett. Release Me. Sounds great. Let's pray this prayer together. Father God, I pray today that You would fill me with Your living water. Lord, give me wisdom. For when I'm starting to decay, that I may have Your life and that I would be a perpetual spring flowing out for the sake of my life and the life of others. Help me to be a disciple, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus.